Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I want you to know this is a big thing that God's doing. This is not some little thing. We're a little part of it, but we're part of something big. Something that is touching this entire world. And we're going to have something else right here in just a minute. I heard this on the radio this morning. A woman who was out Christmas shopping with her two children. After many hours of looking at row after row of toys and everything else imaginable. And after hours of hearing both her children asking for everything they saw on those many shelves, she finally made it to the elevator with her two kids. She was feeling what so many people feel during the holiday season of year. Finally, the elevator door had opened. And this is the person telling the story. They were in there. And there was already a crowd in the car. She pushed her way into the car and dragged her two kids in with her and all the bags of stuff. When the doors closed, she couldn't take it anymore and just stated, "Whoever started this whole Christmas thing should be found, strung up, and shot." That's an amazing way. See, the holiday is so different than the holy day. From the back of the elevator, a voice was heard, very quiet and calm. "Don't worry, they already crucified him." For the rest of the trip down the elevator, it was so quiet, you could have heard a pin drop. See, friends, Christmas is about the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming to earth to die for our sins. But if Jesus Christ had not come, there's 12 things that would be different. There's many more than that, but I just want to read the 12 that someone has put down. We would not have Christmas. Number one, this wouldn't be happening. I don't even think I can read all the 12. Let me just put it to you this way. How many have a Bible today that has a New Testament as part of it? You have the New Covenant. You have the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have the good news of a Savior who came and came to the manger and laid in the manger. We get so sentimental about the baby, you really need to listen to the message of the first gifts of Christmas, because the three magi or wise men, they knew why he came to accomplish, and they knew what he came to accomplish, and they knew who he was. Because the gifts they brought revealed that God had revealed to them, not just in a direct revelation, but because these were the people, magi. We call them kings. They were probably in training that they could have qualified to become kings in Babylon. But these were the teachers that taught Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and taught Daniel. These are the type of people that they were. They studied the scripture, and because of Daniel's presence there for so long, and the captives, Israel was captive in Babylon, they had read the prophecies from the holy scriptures that were brought to them by the Hebrews when they took them into slavery. And what they read in scripture astounded them, and they were astonished that a king is coming. But a king like no other king. And he's coming for a purpose. And they begin to get it. And they went searching for this king. And that's what brought them to come and bring gifts to Jesus Christ. They knew who he was. That he was God incarnate. And their gifts reflected that knowledge. And they knew what he came to do. Because one of the gifts at this baby shower type situation, if we would have it today, was myrrh. That ingredient they used to prepare a body to be put in that tomb. An amazing gift to give a brand new mother with a brand new beautiful baby. Is something that told her, and because of their knowledge, this child was born to die. This child was born not just to die like any other human. We all live out our lifetime and die. But he was going to die for a supreme purpose. To save the lost and the undone. there would be no New Testament if Jesus hadn't come. It would stop at Malachi. That's it. There would be no Savior, no salvation. We would be under the law. No one could be made righteous. Not one. Can you say amen? There would be no gospel of John. There would be no gospel of Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Paul's writings, the 13 books of the New Testament, 1st and 2nd Timothy, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, none of that. Hebrews, it wouldn't be there. Can you imagine no New Testament? Can you imagine what it would be like to not have any hope, to go to a funeral? To go to a funeral and not have one word about a resurrection? No hope? If Jesus hadn't come? This is way beyond just a holiday. This is a holy day. Praise God. We would not have Christmas, no celebration of the Savior. We would have never heard of Christians who have influenced the world. Paul would have remained a cruel Pharisee. Peter, James, and John would have died as simple fishermen. Mary would have been the wife of a carpenter, but nothing more. Thousands of pastors, including your own, would be unknown to most, and their ministry a blessing and comfort to thousands unfulfilled. There would be no churches. There may be synagogues and mosques, but there would be no churches. Can you imagine a city, a whole world without a single church for fellowship, restoration, and worship? There would be no New Testament. The scriptures would be, promises would be unfulfilled. The mystery of the church unrevealed and the joy of the new covenant unknown. Your sins would not be forgiven. The weight of sin would be an endless burden and a death sentence. There would be no Christian writings to comfort us, neither song or poem about the blessings of Christ would calm our fears in storm of trials. There would be no gospel, no good news to share with the world. What is good in a message of works and condemnation? Without a gospel, there would be no missions programs, no missionaries would bring good news to transform lives around the globe. There would be no hope of resurrection. Death would only hold fear and torment instead of rest. Most of the institutions of higher learning would not exist. Now, these things have been corrupted over the years, but Princeton, Harvard, and so many other universities were founded to educate preachers of the gospel at their inception. Isn't that an amazing thing? Most of the hospitals would not exist. There would be no St. Joseph's. There would be none of the institutions that were touched by the compassion of Christ to provoke them to help others. There'd be no YMCA, no Red Cross, orphanages, or thousands of other organizations who simply exist to assist those with no one to help them. There would be no one to care for the widows and the fatherless. Would anyone wish to live in a world without Jesus Christ? As hard as the world pushes back against the message of Jesus, how desperately the world needs the message of Jesus Christ today. Praise God. Hallelujah. To change Christ, the change Christ made in and through the lives of believers everywhere is incalculable. Thank God Jesus did come. He died, yet still he lives, and one day he is coming again. Down in South Africa, some tribes, when they first heard the gospel, the missionaries tied everything, as the Bible does, to Jesus Christ. One man that I shared Christ with that caused him, provoked him to he hadn't been in church in years and years and years and years, and he didn't even understand the gospel, but he's raised in a Christian home, paid no attention to what anyone was saying, but now he's got a family of his own and issues of his own and challenges of his own, and work was over, and we're getting ready to clock out. We clocked out. The moment we clocked out, I don't know how many times I called my wife when I was bivocational and I was in the parking lot sharing Christ with somebody or just giving them a biblical answer for a question that they had. I told you about the many times that I had to put my peanut butter sandwich in my pocket and take it back into the work area because I'd go to lunch and somebody would say, "I told him that you could answer that question. I told him. Can you?" And so I couldn't eat my lunch for answering a biblical question, but I was so happy not to eat my lunch to answer a biblical question. Because one thing about break time, when you got about 20 people in the same room, amen, it got real quiet when I started answering a biblical question. And I knew everyone else, inadvertently, like it or not, was listening to the answer. And I love to talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. Especially in that kind of a context. Praise God. But I told him, I said, you know, we talked about the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. And I said, there's a scarlet thread that the Bible scholars tells us that runs from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. And it's a blood sacrifice system that climaxed and culminated with Christ on the cross. And all of it, without exception, was based on Jesus to come and what he would do and accomplish. And he said, a scarlet thread. And we begin to talk about the power and the place of the blood of Jesus in the gospel and how it could affect our life if we receive him. Praise God. He came back the next week. And because of that hour spent just talking about Jesus, that's why our broadcast is not listening. Let's talk about Brother Venable, or let's talk about the Holy Church of God. Let's talk about our denomination, or let's talk about politics, or let's talk about what's going on in the world. No, let's talk about the one that can make the difference. Can you say amen? Let's don't talk about the problem. Let's just talk about the solution. I didn't come to debate the gospel. I came to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ today. If you don't believe, it's your prerogative. Amen. I'm not here to make you do anything, but I'll tell you where I'm coming from and what the Bible teaches it, and Hana da Bahosanda Baroch Kanana Masoteda Anda da Barosha Labadite. Hallelujah. And God will honor it. Hallelujah. And I'm gonna do it as long as I've got breath in my body. Somehow, some way, I'm gonna tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He said the next Sunday there was a little church two blocks from where he lived. He said it was a little church. And he said he got his family together. And when he got all of them together, said, "Let's all go to church Sunday." He wanted to hear more. He wanted to hear more. I love it when people want to hear more. I usually say around here, we want some more. Yeah. Amen. It's like chicken, right? We want some more. Pat came to a Bible study that had been canceled. She didn't get the message. And I was here in case anybody showed up. And Pat showed up. And it was just me and Pat. And so I was telling anybody that came that it had been called off. Pat doesn't normally come to that evening when she's busy. She said, but she said, I was going to try to make this one. That's why I came. I said, so you came for the Bible study? She said, yeah. She said, I don't always have the opportunity to come, but I want some more. Hallelujah. I said, well, Pat, and we waited. She and I waited. We waited about another 10 minutes. I said, if two more people come, you're going to get some more because I'm going to stay here. And we just open the Bible and see what God has to say to us. When people get hungry, the Holy Spirit gets excited. Praise God. When people are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, God really wants to move. Praise God. How many want some more of the gospel of Jesus Christ? You want to get deeper into it. Let it get down on the inside of you. So I just feel like teaching more this coming season. And I can't teach without preaching, but you can preach without doing as much teaching, because I see people getting their Bible out, getting their pen out, and I get excited about that. Praise God. I'm so glad that Jesus did come. Did I give you that? They call the Bible the Jesus book. And they were quizzed, why do you call the Bible the Jesus book? It's such a big, thick book, old and new. He said, open it about anywhere and you'll find Jesus. Can you say amen? He was and they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them in the Exodus. And that rock was a type of who? Was Christ, the Bible said. The sacrificial system, every piece of furniture in the tabernacle, every piece without exception was a direct, distinct type of Jesus Christ. If you didn't know that, come to church. Let's get together. Get the Bible open. Praise God. And you can see it for yourself. There's nothing like seeing it for yourself in the Word of God. Hallelujah. God is so good. I like young people that have it together. Since the Bible's a Jesus book and the world is so crazy, I think we need to listen to this young man talk about Jesus. Hallelujah.
In Genesis, Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is our high priest. In Numbers, he is the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he is the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he is the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he is our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he is our reigning king. In Ezra, he is the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, he is our Mordecai. In Job, he is our ever-living redeemer. In Psalms, he is our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom. In Song of Solomon, he is our loving bridegroom. In Isaiah, he is the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he is our righteous branch. In Lamentations, he is our weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he is the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he is the fourth man in life's fiery furnace. In Hosea, he is the faithful husband forever married to the backslider. In Joel, he is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and fire. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's mighty to save. In Jonah, he's our great foreign missionary. In Micah, he's the messenger of beautiful feet. In Nahum, he's the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he's God's evangelist crying, "Revive thy works in the midst of the years." In Zephaniah, he's our savior. In Haggai, he's the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, he's the fountain opened up in the house of David for sin and uncleanliness. And in Malachi, he's the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. In Matthew, he's the King of the Jews. In Mark, he's the servant. In Luke, he's the Son of Man, feeling what you feel. In John, he's the Son of God. In Acts, he's the Savior of the world. In Romans, he's the Righteousness of God. In 1 Corinthians, he is the Rock, followed Israel. In 2 Corinthians, he is the triumphant one, giving victory. In Galatians, he is your liberty. He set you free. In Ephesians, he is the head of the church. In Philippians, he is your joy. In Colossians, he is your completeness. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is your hope. In 1 Timothy, he is your faith. In 2 Timothy, he is your stability. In Philemon, he is your benefactor. In Titus, he is truth. In Hebrews, he is your perfection. In James, he is the power behind your faith. In 1 Peter, he is your example. In 2 Peter, he is your purity. In 1 John, he is your life. In 2 John, he is your pattern. In 3 John, he is your motivation. In Jude, he is the foundation of your faith. In Revelation, he is your coming king. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the keeper of creation, the creator of all. He's the architect of the universe and the manager of all times. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. Unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and he's pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand him. The armies can't defeat him. Schools can't explain him, and the leaders can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. Pharisees couldn't confuse him. The people couldn't hold him. Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. The New Age can't replace him. And Oprah can't explain him away. He is life, love, longevity, and more. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness, and God. He is holy, righteous, mighty, powerful, pure. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging, and his mind is on me. He is my redeemer. He is my savior. He is my guide. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my comfort. He is my Lord, and he rules my life.
Woo! Hallelujah! Amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. Glory to God. Amen. If I had his memory, yeah, Oprah can't explain him away. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. We have one more closing song. Things are happening around the world that take us back. And at our last pastor's meeting, I meet with three other pastors, have been doing it for 5 years now. At our last pastor's meeting, we were talking about the things that concern us, the things that discourage us, the things that break our hearts. And it's unanimous around that table. It's seeing people come to know Jesus and not love Him enough, appreciate Him enough, understand the value of what we possess when we come to Christ, that we could walk out of churches all over America, not just in our own personal experiences, but all over America it's occurring, particularly in America it's occurring. Walk out of churches and not follow Him. And be absorbed into the culture until you really can't tell the Christian from anybody else. Because our morals, our values match. And there are even messengers in pulpits, self-made messengers that do not preach counterculture. They preach a message that allows, and I'm going to commit to do it this coming year, if you'll commit with me to come and listen and learn, is that we're going to compare there's so many of them, but the major world religions to the Christian faith, so that you can know why there is a difference and there is a distinction and there should be. Some walls should come down to allow for unity. Some walls should and must be strengthened to disallow the spirit of Antichrist. And when you get a biblical understanding of the spirit of Antichrist, there are many of the world religions that, according to the Bible, are really Antichrist. They don't believe He was God incarnate. They do not believe that He was raised from the dead. They do not believe that He was the Son of God. And you'd be amazed at how many of them do not. That because there's a world church coming, according to the book of Revelation, that will cause all religions to be amalgamized into one. There's a false prophet coming that's going to bring lying miracles, lying wonders. It doesn't mean they're going to be sleight of hand, or there's going to be demonic activity to try to mimic what Elijah did on top of Carmel. They're going to call fire down out of heaven. Fire is going to come. But it won't be God's fire. And you need to know the difference. You must know the difference. And we want you to know the difference. Praise God. So I just feel a calling and an anointing and an appointing, and people that listen to our sermons and to Let's Talk About Jesus, we're going to lay it out as clear as we can lay it out and let God take care of all the consequences of that. But we must distinguish ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ and never be ashamed to say that there's one God and one mediator between God and man, and to name Him. Because there's no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus. One mediator. One God, one mediator. And the reason He claims the exclusive is because it's His blood and His sinless blood only that could pay the penalty for our sins. And thank God it was shed, and thank God it did. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I do not just see the manger scene as this peace child that just suddenly, he didn't bring peace by laying in the manger. He brought peace by hanging on the cross. And when you have peace with God, then you can have the peace of God in your heart and your life. And when He returns, there's going to be peace on earth. But even that peace is going to be because He's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to put a stop to this nonsense. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. And I can't wait for Him to come. But here's what we talked about around that table. And it challenges me. I want to leave you with this today as we celebrate this holy time together and enjoy our fellowship. Four Christian teenagers. These are teenagers. These are not leaders of churches, and these are teenagers. Is it Afghanistan, Iraq? Wherever they were, there was four of them. They were told, recant your faith, recite part of the Muslim creed, because these were the radicals that had them, or die. Four teenagers. So we won't recant Christ. We won't give up our faith. And they beheaded the four of them. In the shallowness of the Christian credo here in America, the people who walk, the droves of people who walk out of churches and have little or no effect on the culture of the society around them because they blend so well with them. The commitment is so shallow. Pakistan, it was in Pakistan. Four teenagers. The church in China is growing by 20,000 converts per day. Atheistic, communistic China. A preacher from Fort Lauderdale went to meet with the leaders of the underground church because there's an official church that can't. Did you know if you preach the second coming of Jesus, you're not allowed to do that in China? You can preach a lot of things, but not his second coming. I could be put in jail for preaching that Jesus is coming again if I was preaching in China today. Because the government feels threatened by another king, just like Herod was. By people saying there's someone beyond the government that our allegiance is to, that it might take some of that control that the government has. So the official church can't talk about the coming of Jesus. But the underground church is declaring he's coming soon. And the underground church is where the many thousands are coming to Jesus. And they came to meet the leaders and they expected these Watchman Nee types that had been Christian for years and were seasoned, dedicated, you know, and said young men and women that had been imprisoned, beaten, threatened, and made to drink their own urine instead of given water. And they were so full of joy, he said. And he said they were all under 30. And most of them were under 25. They'd come to Christ, give their heart to Jesus, and dedicated their life to follow Jesus. And after we got through talking at the table, I said, if they can die for him, the very least we can do in America is live for him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The very least we can do. So if you're going to be a Christian, I just encourage you to follow Jesus. The real joy is in following him with all that you are and everything that you have. Praise God. Or how many are glad that he came? That we don't live in a world without the influence of this great king that comes. We're going back to Africa for the last song. Would you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray over the food before the song starts so that when you get there, you don't have to wait for me because I know how y'all are. And I love you for it. And we're glad you're here. If you can stay in fellowship, come right over to the portable. That-a-way. Praise God. Amen. And the bathrooms are this way for the gentlemen. And there's a ladies right here. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for Christmas. I want to thank you because it is so vital to our faith. And I want to thank you for the people around the world that are celebrating your birth. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you came so that you could go to the cross and die in our place. Lord, we bought a debt we couldn't pay. It was growing every day, but Jesus, you paid it all. in our behalf. And we thank you. We're going to thank you throughout all eternity. We're never going to have an attitude of ingratitude. Lord, we're going to celebrate you every day of our life. In the name of Jesus, bless the food. Bless the people, hands who prepared it. Let it be graciously received with thankful hearts. And let us be strengthened, not only by the food, but in fellowship with one another and with you. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen and amen. Let's give him praise as we get ready to go and eat together. Praise God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let's rejoice, for the King is born.
How many got a 10-stringed instrument? To worship with Africans, you're going to have to learn double time. Hallelujah. Prayer right here. Let's give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Let everything that has breath praise be the Lord. Yeah. Woo! Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 8. After they came back to God, God came back to them. He told them something good Dr. Oz will never tell you. Go and eat the fat and drink the sweet, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Can you say, man, you're invited to come? And could you come to my office? I'm going to have a special prayer for your family all the way from Arizona that listens to our broadcast in Arizona and our website and used to come to our church when he was a teenager just a few years ago, a couple of years back. Amen. Would y'all come and I'll have a special prayer for you while